Hi, and welcome to this Hot Topics podcast from NB Medical and Medcast. This podcast is part of a series based on popular Hot Topics workshops and webinars. In this episode, our expert speaker, Dr. Neil Tucker, discusses the recent developments in managing iliotibial band syndrome in general practice. A copy of Keep It Simple Summary, or KISS, on this topic is available on the Medcast downloads page. If you would like to learn more and or to register for one of our nationally delivered face-to-face workshops, please visit our website. Dr. Neil Tucker introduces Milo, a runner presenting with lateral knee pain after each 10K run.
So Milo's 26 years old. He's fit and active. He's been running for a few years now. He's really into exercise, and he started wanting to ramp things up a little bit. And many of my friends, when they've kind of maybe started developing a bit of a midlife crisis, they've got really into triathlon training. So that's Milo's next big thing. He's got one in 3 months' time. He's doing the full Olympic distance. He really wants to go for it. But every time he tries to get himself over 10K of running, he starts getting this really bad right lateral knee pain. He then rests. It goes away after 2 or 3 days, but it just keeps coming back, and he just can't step up his training, which is really frustrating. Yeah, this is going to be his iliotibial band that's driving this. And this is by far and away the most common cause of lateral knee pain in runner. In fact, up to 14% of runners will have ITB syndrome. And although it's fair to say, actually, it's not just runners. You can get it in many different disciplines. So cyclists get it quite a lot. Rowing, hiking, even swimming can all cause irritation of the iliotibial band. We're going to have a look at sort of how we diagnose that and how patients can help themselves with it. You basically, it causes this chronic inflammation as a result of excessive friction of the distal iliotibial band at the knee. So where it's crossing the lateral femoral epicondyle, and particularly when the knee flexes to about 30 degrees, that's the point at which it starts particularly irritating. So they had a recent BMJ paper and some recent guidance from best practice about how we can help this common problem. So it's got normally a fairly recognizable history. The pain and tightness felt just a couple of centimeters superior to the lateral joint line. And it's predictable in the time and the distance by which someone might start developing the pain each time they exercise. Once it becomes more severe, then the pain can become more pervasive, and then you might start feeling it sort of up and down the leg as well. But initially, it's going to be fairly localized and predictable. The particular triggers are when people start running downhills or on cambered surfaces as well. So if you've maybe on pavements that are not very level, that can start generating a problem as the biomechanical sort of forces going through the knee are kind of off kilter. So you can do a couple of different tests if you want to try and demonstrate this on examination. You can do Ober's test and Noble's test. These are both there's YouTube videos linked in the KISS summaries to both of those, which are well worth having a look at. And I won't go into them now because the BMJ actually suggests a combined test may be better. And this is part of the combined test. So you have a patient lying on their side with the affected leg on the top, and you want to keep the leg in there's a reasonable amount of extension. You push, put some pressure over their pelvis. And then what you're doing is you're adducting the leg, so you're bringing it down sort of sort of somewhere close or below the level of the bed, and then at the same time you want to try and flex and extend the knee, and that should generate the pain. And that's a kind of a hybrid of Ober's and Noble's test, and they think that's got a better pickup rate. The other thing to do is look for biomechanical abnormalities. So if people have very flat feet or limb length discrepancies, significant muscle imbalances, things that physios are very good at looking for and maybe are slightly less so, then all of that can drive the process as well. So how are we going to manage this group? And the good news is that for the majority, they will have mild to moderate severity, and self-care is all that's needed. So firstly, just think about the activity. So they should reduce or stop activity, the causative activity, for up to 6 weeks. It gives them an opportunity to just think about things that might be driving this. So for example, are they doing hill running? Maybe that's not a good idea for them at the moment. And they could always think about keeping up their fitness by doing alternative exercises. So, for instance, swimming, ideally without the legs, for instance, would be an alternative. Then once the initial pain is settled down, they can start doing stretching exercises. And these two pictures also, and there's some good handouts which are linked in that, in the KISS summary, these two pictures give you an idea about what they do for iliotibial band stretches. So the key one really is this one where you're stretching the iliotibial band by placing it behind the unaffected leg and then stretching over on that side, really sort of extending the iliotibial band. They're suggesting 5 reps of that 3 times a day. Keep going with that. Patients, they might get improvement after a few weeks, but ideally they keep doing it because this is going to be a potentially recurrent problem for them. And that's the key exercise. Then as well, you can do hip strengthening exercises, and the best way to do this is with a band. So physios often give out these bands and do kind of like these abduction exercises, which will strengthen those hip muscles. Any biomechanical abnormalities, then let's correct those. Limb length discrepancies or flat feet can often be corrected by insoles. They can have simple analgesia and ice if it's pain. And I know friends who've had ITB syndrome, and they've often been recommended foam rollers. So they go into these extensive sort of sessions with like rolling these foam, sort of lying on these foam rollers and kind of pushing themselves up and down the floor. Actually, that's not mentioned at all in any of these papers. So I think arguably maybe there's limited utility of that. But please correct me if anyone knows any better. Then, after things are settled down, you can do a graded return to exercise. And one of the neat things that runners could do is perhaps rather than just going up to just long distance training, get them to do some HIIT training, some high intensity intervals instead. So then they can shorten the distance they're doing, but actually improve their muscle strength and improve their cardiovascular system as well. And if they mix that up, then it's often a good way of trying to just limit that sort of longer runs and that persistent irritation. The majority can get back to sport, so almost half are back by 8 weeks and 90% back by 6 months. So the outcomes are good here, but people need to put in a bit of work. For severe pain, for refractory iliotibial band syndrome, I would be referring to a physio, so self-care may not be the best choice for them. There is some role for steroid injections. I wouldn't do those myself. I'd be letting a specialist do those. And imaging is rarely helpful, but if they've had extensive physio and it's not working, then again, the ortho team might go down that route. Theoretically, surgery is a possible but a very rarely used option. And in the BMJ, there's this really neat patient information leaflet, which is again linked in the KISS summaries, and it contains everything that you and patients need to know about iliotibial band syndrome, basically. Really, really useful document. So I've been handing that out to my patients when they've presented with this. What happened to Milo? Well, he avoided training for 2 months. The pain is resolved. He's been doing his daily ITB stretches. He's got new trainers to correct his overpronation, and he's done that graded return. He's now managing to up the distance without too much trouble.
Thank you. That was Dr. Neil Tucker from NB Medical in the UK, presenting the latest updates in the guidelines in treating ITBS, or iliotibial band syndrome, in primary care. You can download a copy of the Keep It Simple summary or KISS on ITBS on the Medcast Downloads page. If you would like to learn more about the Hot Topics series of workshops, webinars and podcasts, please visit our website on www.medcast.com.au/hottopics.